In 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1, and the Bible says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag had smitten had invaded the south, and Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives, and that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Well, they cried for a while, didn't they? Listen, they just didn't cry for a minute or two. Bible said that they wept till they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man of his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this truth? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." If you go on and you read the rest of this chapter, you'll find out that that is exactly what happens. Is they went out and they recovered exactly everything that was taken from them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you most of all for saving us. And first of all for saving us. And Lord, we thank you for your wonderful blessings. Pray that the songs that have been sung tonight has honored you and blessed your name tonight. And Lord, we're grateful for a place. It's called heaven. Knowing that we're going to get there one day after a while because of your promise, and that to save and to keep, and that's where your people go when they die and when you come to get us. Lord, we ask tonight now that we'd find some encouragement in the Word of God. I pray that you just keep the devil from hindering us, keep him far away tonight, and that you might be honored and glorified in this service. Lord, again, we love you. We need a touch in that from heaven. We just need a touch tonight. God, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we're looking to you for all the help that we can have. And we'll give you the glory for it all, what might be done here tonight. And Lord, we ask you to save that sinner's nearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You be seated tonight. We find times in our life that when there just comes times when we need encouragement. That word encourage means to give courage to or to increase confidence of success. And we find a time when Ziklag has come in or when the Amalekites have come to Ziklag and they have burned it. This is where David is staying with his army at the time. Listen, he's not with Saul. He's not in the kingdom. He's been anointed king, but Saul is still king. And he's thought about going and fighting with the Philistines, and the Philistines wouldn't have him. And so he goes back home, and in the process of time, we find that the Amalekites come and carry everything off and carry everybody off. And they burned the city and that with fire. And here comes David and his people back. And in verse 4, the Bible said, David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. They cried till they could cry no longer for what was taken from them. As a matter of fact, if you look in verse 5, David lost just as much as anybody else did. He was the king and he was not spared and that from losing his two wives. A lot of times we look at God and we wonder why We've been through what we've been through. God, don't you know who I am? Don't you know how I've served you? Don't you know how that I love you? But yet, hard times, and that comes. Troublesome times, comes. As a matter of fact, it got worse for David. The people, and that talked about stoning him. It got so bad they were blaming David for everything that had went wrong. They were blaming David for all their stuff being carried off, and their sons and their daughters being carried off, and they were going to stone him. Listen, David didn't have a friend. He didn't have anybody to turn to. He didn't have anybody to look to that was going to pat him on the back and say, "You're doing a good job." He didn't have anybody to pat him on the back and say, "You hang in there. It's going to get better." But David, the Bible said in verse 6, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There comes times in our life, friend, when there's not going to be anybody there to encourage us. There's not going to be anybody there to pat us on the back and encourage us to keep going. I'm going to do my best, but sometimes my best ain't good enough to help you. But I do know one in heaven tonight, friend, that knows and that how to help us. Ain't you glad of that tonight? Hey, listen, David, and that cried unto the Lord. As a matter of fact, he inquired of God. He found some encouragement and began to inquire in what to do. But I want to preach tonight, having a thought on some encouragement to keep us going, or some promises that God gave us for an encouragement. Number one tonight, when nobody else will encourage us, you look in your Bible and you find that, first of all, the Lord is still on his throne. Ain't you glad tonight he's still God in heaven? Ain't nobody took him off. Hey, let me say now, it's going to be a simple message. Amen. Hopefully that'll help us. I've learned over the years it is the simplest things that generally help us for what we need. But listen tonight, can I tell you, first of all, he's still God and he's still seated on his throne. Sometimes I forget that God is still in heaven. He don't get shaken. He didn't get tore up. He knew that Ziklag was going to be burned. He knew that they were going to accuse David. He knew that they was going to want to stone David. But God didn't get excited. Listen, can I tell you tonight, when we lack encouragement in our life, you remember that God is still on his throne. Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 23, "Am I God in hand? I saith the Lord, and not a God far off." Hey, ain't you glad tonight that he's just a little ways out, and we can still reach out to heaven and get a hold of him? Hey, I'm glad heaven's real, but I'm glad that I can pray. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm glad I can pray. And there's one seat on the right hand of the Father that makes intercession for us, that hears and answers our prayers, because he is still on the throne tonight. Hey, ain't nobody going to shake him off the throne. Ain't nobody going to run him off the throne. Ain't nobody going to take him off the throne. He's there for eternity. Amen. Thank God for that tonight. Amen. Hey, listen, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 6. We find tonight that there was a time when the nation of Israel, or nation of Judah, and y'all know I preached out 2 Chronicles 20 a lot over the years. There was a time when the nation of Israel, nation of Judah, had them three companies coming up against them. And the Bible said in verse 6, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou the God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen?" Jehoshaphat praying right here, and he said, "And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Boy, I'm glad tonight there ain't nobody can take him. Amen. Psalm 24 said, "Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." Selah. He's still on the throne. You know what encourages me tonight? I can look to heaven and I know that he's there. Amen. Amen. Washington may change. Huh? Friends may change. Family may change. But I can tell you one thing, God in heaven ain't going to change. He's still seated on his throne. Now, that ought to encourage us. Boy, when we think that the church is under persecution, you remember that God is still on His throne. Boy, when you're in the pit of despair, you remember that God is still on His throne. When heaven don't seem to want to answer, you remember that God is still on His throne. When the devil is beating the fire out of us, you remember that God is still on His throne tonight. I remember watching Jack Hiles preach a message one time, God still being on His throne. And boy, he got to talking about how that your wife's sick, so God ain't on His throne. And your wife got better, so God's on His throne. And he was taking a microphone stand and he was using it and he'd set it up here and God's on His throne. Then he'd take it off and set it down. And then he'd put it back up here and God's on His throne. Then he'd take it down and in the midst of that, he knocked it off by accident. He said, well, God ain't on His throne. And so he picks it back up and he puts it back up here. And listen, that's the way we are a lot of times with God. We think He's on His throne for a little while and we take Him off for a little while. We put Him on for a little while and we take Him off for a little while. But can I tell you tonight, He is still in control tonight. He is still on His throne. Can I tell you, He sees you tonight. You may not think He sees. I try to remind them a lot of times when I go to the nursing home and preach, I still remind them old saints over there that God is still on His throne and God is still watching them. Boy, I tell you, if I was to get in a place like that, I'd begin to wonder if God was real. You know, hey, listen, some of them people over there, they don't know what day it is. They don't know what's going on. But they do know that they're saved. They do know that they're being kept. But I'm going to tell you tonight, there's just sometimes we just need to remember that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. The Bible says, hey, we just need to remember that. That'll help you tonight. Amen. Ain't you glad of that tonight? God is still on His throne. Some promises to encourage tonight. Don't that encourage you tonight? It encourages me to know that the Lord is still on His throne. Can I tell you tonight, number two, some promises to encourage? If you're saved, let me phrase this. If God saved you, you're still saved. Now, I'll be honest with you. That's a good encouragement. Boy, I tell you, I wish some folk would just get that thing nailed down and get it figured out. Listen, I talk to some preachers and talk about and see some churches. They say they've had a multitude saved, and then a few weeks later they got another multitude saved, and a few weeks later they're getting another multitude saved. Hey, it's all the same people, and that come around. Hey, somewhere along the line you need to teach and preach on eternal security because the Bible says so. Amen. I'm not against folk getting saved. I'm not against folk getting saved if they realize they're lost. I mean, some folk made a profession over the years, and they just need to get saved. They never got what was real. They just made a profession for whatever reason and never trusted Jesus to come into their heart. But I tell you tonight, if you asked Him to come in and you meant it and He was convicting you, I'll guarantee you He done His part. Amen. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hey, listen, I've got it pinned down here in my outline that he couldn't lose us. If we both tried to lose one another, he couldn't lose us. Amen. They just couldn't be done. I mean, it don't work that way. I listen, John chapter 27 or John chapter 10, he said in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We're kept and that by Him. But we're in His hand, we're in the Father's hand. He said, I and my Father are one. I'm glad of that tonight. Hey, listen, the Bible says that the foundation of God standeth sure, knowing this one thing, that the Lord knows them that are His. He knows us tonight. He knows us. Well, I'm telling you, I'm glad not only does He know us. Now listen, if you're saved tonight, if you got saved, you're still saved. You can't lose it. No matter how much you try, we say, well, if I go back in the world, you can go back in the world. You just can't go back in the world the same way that you come out of the world tonight. What are you talking about? You know, the nation of Israel could not go back. The nation of Egypt is a type of the world in the Bible. And the Lord told the nation of Israel not to go back down there, not to be trading back down there, not to go down there for horses, not to go down there for security. But you know, there was times that the nation of Israel went back down in the land of Egypt for whatever reason, if you read in the Old Testament. But there was one thing about it. The nation of Israel could not go back down to the land of Egypt the same way that they came out. What are you talking about? How did they come out? Well, they come out through the parting of the Red Sea, didn't they? Hey, they could not go back down into the land of Egypt the same way that they came out. Me and you can go back in the world, but we can't go back through the blood. We can't undo the blood that we've been washed with and made clean and pure. Hey, we can go back in the world, but you can't be lost again. Amen. And by the way, if you want to go back in the world, then the Lord's going to follow you. The Holy Spirit's going to trail you because He's living with you, by the way. And listen, tonight, you'll wish that you hadn't went. You can go and you can look at the prodigal son. You can preach him lost or saved ever how you want to. It works pretty good both ways. But I tell you tonight, he realized when he got down there and lost everything that he had, and he got down the whole pen and would have found to eat the husk that the swine did eat. I'm telling you, he realized the shape that he was in. Amen. Realized that shape. But now if you're saved, if you got saved, you're still saved. Ain't that a wonderful thing? Don't that encourage you tonight to know that your salvation can't be taken away? They may take your life away. Hey, he said, don't fear those that can kill your body and can't kill your soul. But he said, fear him that had power to kill your body and then cast your soul into hell. I remember Brother Ted was laying in the hospital. He'd had his first heart attack. He'd been through cancer and he'd had his first heart attack and he was laying in the bed. And I heard him tell this story more than once. And he was worried about dying. Concerned him about dying. And the devil, as he'd like to tell, the devil jump up on your shoulder and begin to talk to you a little bit. And he said, my oldest daughter come in there and sat down beside me and said, well, Daddy, said, what's he going to threaten you with, heaven? Even if he can kill you, what's he going to threaten you with, heaven? I mean, that's the great thing about being saved and dying saved is the next option, if you would let me say that, is heaven. That's where we're headed, you see. That's where we're going. Listen, you don't have to be worried. I don't have to be worried. I know it gets worrisome sometimes thinking about that thing. But thank God I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. And one day after a while we'll get there in a little while, thank God. But if God saved you, you're still saved. That ought to encourage. And sometimes that's just hard to believe that God keeps us in spite of ourselves. And in spite of our lack of faith, He still keeps us. Can I tell you tonight that number three, some promises to encourage the believer is you can still reach heaven. You can still pray through if you'd let me say that. It is a direct line to heaven. From those that are saved. The Bible said in the book of Psalms chapter 3. That I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And He heard me out of His holy hill. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 28. How blessed be the Lord because He hath heard the voice of my supplications. Again in Hebrews chapter 4. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. It may not seem like heaven's answering back. It may not seem like that it's getting much above this ceiling. But you remember we got a direct line and God is listening for us. Amen. I looked at it this morning in Job chapter 23. After Job got done talking over there, talking about trying to find the Lord and all these things. But then he said, but He knoweth the way that I take. God's paying attention and God's listening. God says, I don't understand some things tonight. I don't understand why heaven gets quiet sometimes. But I do know this tonight. If we'll keep praying and we'll keep seeking the Lord, you know what'll happen? Heaven will roll back one day. He'll smile on us. His blessings will come through. He'll answer you. Listen, He will show up one day after a while. But God hears your prayers. God hears your prayers. He still amazes me. You know, He asks us and wants us to pray in faith. And sometimes I get weak in faith and still pray. And God still moves. That's amazing to me. I mean, it is. I know me. Listen, I know me. I know me better than my wife knows me. I know how I am. I know how my mind works. I know how my heart is sometimes. But you know something? God knows me better than I know me tonight. And that's what's great about that thing. Even though He knows me, He still pities me. And in the weakness of my faith, when I still call out to heaven, God hears me. Just some promises to encourage the believer. David's sitting over here, and man, they're all talking about stoning him. And they've been crying till they can't cry no more. And so he begins to pray. Bible said in verse 8, and David, you know, he done everything right. Boy, he went down there and got the priest and got the ephod and brought it out there. And the Bible said, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? And shall I overtake them? And I always love verse 8. And he answered him. Boy, ain't you glad of that? I love it when God answers. When God answers, I love it when He shows up and makes Himself known. Number 4, not only can you still reach heaven when you call out, but number 4, can I tell you tonight that the Lord is still coming? I mean, some promises to encourage the believer tonight is the Lord is still coming. He ain't changed His mind. Now listen, He ain't decided that He's going to do something else. He decided He's lied and He's going to change His word. He is still coming. We looked at that a couple Wednesday nights ago about the rapture of the church and Him coming for the church. Listen, I'm glad He's coming for me. Amen. I'm leaving in the rapture of the church. Thank God. If you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, I love this passage of Scripture. He said in verse 13, do I not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the gospel, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hey, listen, can I tell you tonight, that Scripture's just as true as any other Scripture in here. Listen, you can believe that, I can believe that. He is coming again, and He's coming for His church. Are you ready tonight? You need to be ready for that thing. He is coming. He bought us. He paid for us. He's took care of us all these years. He ain't going to forget us. He's coming to get us. Amen. But I tell you what, you ought to get over our nursing home sometime and get to preaching on that new body. Amen. New body may not seem like a whole lot to you, but when you've got them sitting there in wheelchairs in front of you, and some of them can't talk, and man, they're old, they're tired, and they're wore out. And they've had strokes, and some of them's got cancer. And some of them's just weak and feeble. And boy, you get to talking about that new city that's going to get them a new body one day after a while, you can watch them light up. I've got one dear old saint back, sits back there in the back. Her husband pastored for years. She'll say, and I know when I'm on to something, as I see that hand start going like this right here. And I know, I'm a plow now, you know. You can watch their eyes just light up when you start talking about that new body. Can I tell you tonight, when we get there, when he comes to get us, we're going to be changed. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we shall not all sleep. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know, that's faster than batting the eye. That's fast, ain't it? Man, that's fast. I mean, they're just folk are going to be in front of other people, and then all of a sudden we're going to be gone one day. Ain't that going to be something? He is coming again. How do you know that he's coming again? Well, he said he would. That ought to be good enough. But did he not give us some signs of the end time? If you'd let me say that way, some signs. Listen, did he not tell us in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, did he not tell us how the last days was going to be? Did he not? I'm honest tonight. Did he not tell us how the last days? This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I told you I was going to preach simple tonight. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers, those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Tells us how the end's going to be. That's come up to par, hadn't it? I honestly believe we're living in the last days. I do. I believe we're living in the last days. I believe Jesus is soon to come. Any moment. They're scoffers. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. We got folk that don't believe that he's coming again. Don't care to tell you that they don't believe. Bible says, I believe it talks about man over in the book of Proverbs, that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know what encourages me today? He's still coming. He's still coming. He's going to come and get to church. The world's going to go through the tribulation period. When that thing rocks out, he's going to set it all right. That encourages me. Hey, them folk out there that are against the church, that are against God, all them godless heathens out there, that don't want to believe in God, don't want anything to do with him. Hey, one day, he's going to set things right. I was listening to a preacher preach today. As a matter of fact, as we was traveling down the road, he was preaching out of the book. I guess it's out of the book of Proverbs. I never did hear where he said he was, but I know the scripture where it talked about in Proverbs 1 where he was going to laugh at their calamity. That's what's going to happen. God is going to laugh one day at the calamity that's happening because they said no. He's going to laugh. You say, well, that ain't the God that I know. You better read your Bible. That's the God of the Bible tonight. Amen. Listen, he's coming again. You know what encourages me? You know, some promises that encourages me? He's coming again. Number 5, last of all tonight. Boy, there's a bunch of promises in the Bible. These are just a few tonight. I hope that encourages you that the Lord can still save. He ain't done saving yet. He ain't done saving. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I love being saved to the uttermost. Can't get no more saved. I'm saved. I love it when we sing that old song in the Redback book. Saved. Most important thing you know tonight is that you're saved. Ready to go to heaven. Can I tell you tonight, Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, didn't he? Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What was it? 1 Timothy, I believe it is 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Boy, we're just sinners needing to get saved. Can I tell you tonight, God didn't care what you done. God didn't care what I done. God didn't care who I was. Didn't care who you was. Just needed to get saved. And I'm glad he saved me tonight. Family sitting on the back row of a Baptist church just needing to get saved. That whosoever. You know, sometimes I think what I done was so simple. And how could God save me by what I done that night? I'm telling you, when I come to the altar,
I didn't know what to do, but I know I needed to get saved. And all I done was simply ask Jesus to save me. That's it. That's all I done. People tell you, well, you didn't ask the right thing or tell God the right thing. Listen, all God wants, He said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that He could save me. I know that I needed to get saved. I believed He could save me, and I asked Him to save me. It's that simple. You say, is it really that simple, preacher? It's really that simple tonight. If you just come. If you're lost, needing to get saved. But ain't you glad tonight that it was that simple? And we didn't have to have no money in our pocket. God didn't require anything out of us. God didn't require any work out of us. God didn't require anything out of us. That's why He sent Jesus, was to die for us. He said, I came not to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Amen. They that are whole need not a physician, but those that are sick need a physician tonight. I'm glad tonight to be saved. Listen. God still saves folk. Now listen, don't you give up on praying for folk who need to get saved. Because you know what will happen before you turn around. That will happen. I remember talking to Mitchell's daddy, and he loves to tell this story. He said we had a little girl in our church. She was about 10 years old. And said every time us men get in the prayer room, her daddy would request prayer for her to get saved. She's 10 years old. You know, wanted her to get saved. And said that just bothered him and worried him. And said there's one Sunday morning, said between Sunday school and preaching, and said he was outside smoking, said that little girl got saved. Hey, listen, God has a way of doing it, don't He? Hey, listen, I believe that daddy's prayer God answered. Amen. Hey, the night that I got saved, my mama was sitting over there. She'll tell you, she's sitting over there praying for her children. She knows they're saved. I think that's a pretty good prayers for mom and daddy's to have. I think it's good prayers for mamas and papas to have. Aunts and uncles. I think it's just a good prayer. Lord, save my children. Save my grandchildren. Huh? I'm telling you, that's a good prayer to have. Can I tell you, it don't matter. You say, well, God can't save them. The Bible says in John chapter 6, all that the Father given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. If anybody comes to the Lord, He'll save them tonight. No matter how vile they've been, how wicked they've been. I want to look at one thing. Let me see if I can find it, and I'm going to close, okay? I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians, maybe 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I believe that's where we need to be, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I know it's in the book of 1 or 2 Corinthians, and that's it, 1 Corinthians 6. I was talking to somebody the other day. I don't know if it's a preacher on the phone. I can't remember. I talked to some days and some weeks I talk to a lot of people, and other days I don't hardly talk to nobody. But I want you to look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. I want you to look over with me tonight. If you wouldn't, then I'm going to close. And the Bible said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind. I believe that's the sodomite right there when he refers to that statement, the abusers of them with mankind. I believe he's talking about the homosexual there. If you go back and you look in other portions of the Scripture, you'll find it called the same way. Then he said, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So he lays out a whole group of people that is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But I want you to watch what Paul said in verse 11. And such were some of you. As he wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, this was you. This was you. Some of you were adulterers, and some of you were idolaters, and some of you were effeminate, and some of you were extortioners, some of you were drunkards. And he said, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Folk that we wouldn't save and folk that we wouldn't give a second thought to, He'll save tonight. Man, that does something inside me. Because you know what? I was just the vilest sinner too that needed to get saved. And if you look in this book, you'll find out that's the way you were too. Was all just vile sinners before God needing to get saved. I'm glad He still saves tonight. Amen. That encourages me to keep going. If I didn't think the Lord wasn't going to save, I wouldn't bother coming.
I wouldn't bother getting on the radio. I wouldn't bother doing anything. I'd shut my book and I'd go home. I'd live the rest of my life out in the way that I wanted to if I didn't think God could still save tonight. But you know what? It's the way church goes. Sometimes we act like he ain't going to. But I tell you, let's remember tonight, if you need some encouragement, you remember he still saves tonight. Listen, we sing that old song in the Red Back book. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Thank God. Let's bow our heads across the house tonight. Let's get us a verse of invitation, fellas, if we would tonight. Amen. Let's get us a verse tonight. Maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you're needing some encouragement tonight. I tell you, it seems like for a long time I'm needing some encouragement, just personally, along the way. I'll be honest with you, I'm glad it comes along every now and again. The Lord knows how to encourage. Knows how to encourage. I know I've told you this story, but I believe it bears repeating again. I remember when some tough things had happened to me and Kelly over the years, and when we was going to Lee's Chapel. And we was just a young married couple, and some tough things had happened, and church knew about it, and I can remember telling the Lord. I was in a pity party. And I remember telling the Lord, Lord, if when I get a chance, I'm going to preach on how to encourage folk that need encouragement. I remember telling the Lord that. And I remember getting to church that Sunday and just felt so low. And I know my wife did too. And just went to meeting, just done what David said, Psalms 42, just went with them that kept holy day, went on into the choir and sung and done what we needed to do. And still didn't really feel encouraged. And I remember walking down to the car and down the lower parking lot, and I can remember Miss Rachel, she was 15 years old at the time, chased me down to encourage us. And knowing what we'd been through, and just wanted to encourage us. And I didn't realize what had happened. And I no more got back in that car and sat down. And the Lord said, see, right there is your encouragement. Right there. The Lord knows what he's doing, how to do it tonight, church. But sometimes we just need him to come by and speak to us. Can I tell you tonight, maybe it's your responsibility to help encourage somebody. Instead of you needing it tonight, maybe you can give it. And pat somebody on the back and say, just hang in there. And boy, just keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep going. Heavenly Father, would you help during this invitation? There might be some folk might want to come pray, just need some encouragement tonight. Somebody might need to come get saved. I don't know folks' hearts, but you do. I just pray you'd help this evening. Helping this invitation for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.